Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we have been studying the prophecies found in the book of Daniel. Thus far we have covered chapter 2 and a portion of chapter 7. And as we've come to chapter 7, we're looking at this fourth beast, which takes on another form as described in verses 23 and 24, where 10 kings come together who arise from the Roman Empire, and then another king arises after them, is going to be different from the first 10, and he will eventually have the authority of all of those 10 kings, and these 10 kingdoms will come together to form one powerful last world empire. And verse 25 of chapter 7 describes what this man, who we commonly call the Antichrist, will do. And one of the main characteristics is found there, which is he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. For part of our time together today, I want to study what these pompous words are. And one of the main places to understand what the Antichrist is going to do in the last days is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting there at verse 3. And it reads this way, "Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped as God, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So the pompous words that he's going to speak against the Lord is that he's going to declare that he is the true God. It says he'll go into the temple, which will be the temple in Jerusalem in the future, and go into the temple place and claim to be God and demand to be worshipped as God. And this needs to be associated with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Another important end times passage, which reads, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place," which is a reference to the temple, "whoever reads, let him understand." The abomination of desolation is discussed in Daniel chapter 9 as well as in Daniel chapter 12. And that is the point where the Antichrist, as 2 Thessalonians 2 records, he goes into the temple and claims to be worshipped as God. Daniel chapter 9 tells us that at this point of the abomination of desolation, he's going to stop the sacrificial system. So that means the Antichrist will go into the temple, stop the sacrificial system that the Jews will eventually reinstitute, and commit what is termed as the abomination of desolation. That seems like a hard term to understand, but if you break it apart, it is rather easy to understand what Jesus means. The term abomination means some sort of gross offense against God, and the term desolation means something that is destroyed or is going to be ruined. So this is the great offense against God, which brings in destruction. And so when the Antichrist goes into the temple and claims to be God, that's what is going to usher in the destruction, the wrath of God with intensity upon a Christ-rejecting world. So that abomination, that one alone, brings in the destruction of God. That's why Jesus said in verse 16 of Matthew 24, "Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." So for those that live in the last days, and this event takes place, he says, get out of Jerusalem, get out of Judea, because great destruction is going to come upon that territory of the world. So the abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist goes into the temple, stops the sacrificial system, and claims to be God. That's what it means in Daniel 7, that he's going to be speaking pompous words against the Most High. Another important reference from the words of Jesus is John chapter 5, verse 43. He says, "I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive." And I believe that Jesus here is making a prophecy about the last days, that although he came in the Father's name, they rejected him. Well, there's going to be one that's going to come in his own name. Him, the Jews are going to receive as the Messiah and as God, and worship him, the false Christ that will show up in the last days. The book of Revelation also gives us more detail about this blasphemy that the Antichrist is going to commit. In Revelation chapter 13 is primarily where this topic is discussed. And reading from verse 1, it reads this way, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And here these 10 horns are again that we discussed earlier in the week, which Revelation 17, verse 12 says they are 10 kings who have not received a power as of yet in the time of John. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his head, a blasphemous name." So the main characteristic of the Antichrist and his kingdom is that it's going to blaspheme God by having the leader of that empire be worshipped as God. And verse 4 of chapter 13 reads this way, "So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. So here we have the Antichrist is going to blaspheme God, and he's going to be empowered by the devil. People are actually going to be worshiping the dragon here, it says, as well as this last world ruler. And he's going to have a mouth to speak pompous words, blasphemies against God, and he's going to continue for 3.5 years, which is the last half of the tribulation period. So when you put Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, together with Revelation 13, in Daniel it says that in the middle of the 7-year period, which is a 3.5-year point, the Antichrist is going to commit the abomination of desolation, which is that abomination when he goes into the temple, stops the sacrificial system, and demands to be worshipped as God. And then for 3.5 years, he's going to have authority over the saints to bring persecution upon them. That's that other characteristic we saw in Daniel chapter 7, that he's one that persecutes the saints. Revelation 13, verse 6 goes on to say, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Another portion of the book of Revelation at the end of chapter 13, which is important, which I believe ties into this abomination of desolation, is found in verses 16 through 18, which is, and he causes all, and it's a reference here to the individual that helps the Antichrist, who we call the false prophet. He's going to cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. And then the number turns out to be 666, and the people so focus on that. But I want to focus on the number. I want to focus on the fact that here it says that this mark upon the body relates to being able to buy or sell. And what I would tie together the scriptures is that at the middle point of the tribulation period, the Antichrist goes into the temple, demands to be worshipped as God, and those who proclaim him as God and worship him as God receive the mark at that point, because Revelation 13 is definitely long into the tribulation period, the point we're reading at. They'll have to receive this mark, and that will give them the authority to be able to buy or sell. It's also going to mark them as followers of this Antichrist. Because in the book of Revelation, to mark somebody means to show ownership. Because in the first century, to put a mark on something or someone, it was to show ownership. God himself, in Revelation chapter 7, marked the 144,000, the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, showing that those belonged to the Lord. Now, the Antichrist is going to mimic what God is doing, as the devil always tries to bring in a counterfeit to deceive people. Now the Antichrist will have people put a mark upon their body to identify their allegiance to him as God. And before you get too hung up on the 666 in verse 17, it doesn't say that it's only a number, because it says who has the mark or the name or the number of his name. So there's three actual things that could be placed upon a person's body. And the main point is not so much the number, but the fact that these people are giving their allegiance to this man as God and to worship him as God. And what's going to happen is that many in that day will reject him as God, will receive the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, and then he will persecute them. And that's what it means. The saints are going to be given over into his hands for 42 months or for a times and a half a time, for that last 3.5 years. Because that is when a decision is going to have to ultimately be made. And many at that point will become true followers of Jesus Christ and reject this man as God and worship the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And because of that, they're not going to receive this mark, they're not going to be able to buy or sell, and they will become persecuted, especially during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. There's so much more I'd like to share with you from the book of Daniel. And next week in our studies, we will pick it up and continue to study the prophecies of the book of Daniel. But I think this would be a good point to let you know that we have many resources available for the study of the book of Daniel as well as on other topics. One thing I'd like to recommend is that we do have a class that we've done on the book of Daniel. It lasted 12 to 13 weeks, so obviously we're able to go in much more detail in that length of time. We have a syllabus as well as tapes. I'd encourage you to listen to the phone number that's given at the end of the broadcast and give us a call and order that class on the book of Daniel if you need to understand more on the prophecies about the book of Daniel. That's not the only class that we have. We offer others such as Christian doctrine, systematic theology, how to study the Bible. There's a list that we could send out to you. But if you want to get more involved in the study of prophecy, the book of Daniel is a great place to start. Or you could order the tapes that we're doing over these 2 weeks on the book of Daniel alone. But our desire here is supremely to help people understand the Word of God, to equip you for the work of the ministry. In addition to these resources, what is also available is the tapes that I've done at my church in a verse-by-verse study through the book of Daniel. So if you'd like to get any of those resources, get in contact with us with the number that you'll hear at the end of the broadcast. Also, I'd like to recommend, which I believe is the best commentary out on the book of Daniel, by John F. Wolverd. It's called Daniel, The Key to Prophetic Revelation. We could get that for you or see your local Christian bookstore. So in our next week's study, we'll continue in the prophecies of the book of Daniel.